Among the bishops attending the 13th Ordinary Assembly of the Synod of Bishops is Bishop Otto Sipari, the Bishop of Aitape in Papua New Guinea. He spoke to Charles Collins about the synod.
From my personal opinion, and I think it's a general opinion of the Bishops' Conference of PNG and Solomon Islands, evangelization of cultures means we have to allow the gospel to speak to the culture. And if it does so, the gospel will try to purify the culture, because some of our cultures are what we could describe as anti-Christian. So if we would allow in our pastoral approaches to let the gospel really touch the lives of our culture and the people, I think that is what really we mean by the gospel to evangelize our cultures. And I think, you know, at Limina this year, the Pope challenges us to do that. And it's a big task. It's not an easy task to do, because to allow the gospel to really touch our culture, it will take time. It's not something that we do overnight, because it is a possibility, an opportunity is there, but it's a matter of finding the right methodology to do that. And I must say also, in Papua New Guinea and the Solomon Islands Bishops Conference, we are embarking on what is called a National Pastoral Plan. And the National Pastoral Plan means we as a conference would try to draw up strategies, pastoral strategies, to target those issues that is anti-Christian, including our culture.
Can you give us maybe one example? What aspect of culture would you say is anti-Christian that could then be baptized, as it were?
Well, an example I can say, like in Papua New Guinea, in some parts of Papua New Guinea, there is what is called people marrying more than one wife. This is something that in a Christian understanding we don't accept it. So like in some parts of the country, people are allowed to marry more than one wife, which is of course against the cultural belief and understanding. So if we would allow the gospel to touch those areas of our culture, there is one example, and it may purify the culture and say, not more than one wife, should be one wife, one man, one woman. That could be an example. Another thing I think I could explain also is we have a controversial idea about what is called Pride Prize. Pride Prize, in some sense, has lost its meaning in the tradition of our culture. So Pride Prize now, it becomes what we call a commodity. Like you pay your wife some amount of money, and see, the danger is she becomes your property. That is not the traditional meaning of Pride Prize. It has lost its meaning. And I think the gospel value could touch that area as well. Because if we continue doing like that, the whole idea of human dignity vanishes in the lives of our women. The women become the property because the person has bought her, like buying something in the supermarket. So that is a danger. So I think that is one of those things the gospel need to touch, and we need to purify our culture.
You are the director of the National Pastoral Plan for the Bishops' Conference, which, just to touch on something else the Pope said, which touches on the work you do, he mentioned that he says he recognizes the importance of formal programs and plans, but he says that a key element for effective formation is the example of what he calls holy witnesses, saintly people, who become in themselves an instrument of evangelization. How do you form, what's the relationship between a pastoral plan and forming holy witnesses? Are these two concepts intertwined? How do they relate?
I think there is a possibility of becoming related to one another. The challenge is those who are evangelizers, we need to purify ourselves first. We need to be a role model in order to be role models of other people. That means those of us who are evangelizers, like the bishop, the priest, the lay people, taking involved in the work of the church, we need to be a role model in order to make that happen. And it's a big challenge, like in our traditional church way of looking at it, like the hierarchical structure of the church. I think the plan that we need to promote in our pastoral plan is the the communion aspect of the church, the bishop, the priest, the religious, and the lay people working side by side in implementing the pastoral plan of the church and in our diocese and in our country.
Can I ask you, what are some of the aspects of the pastoral plan in Papua New Guinea?
In the areas of the parish structure, is like we bring people together in meetings, in pastoral meetings, like a pastoral plan within the parish we call Parish Pastoral Council. And then we go down to community animation team. And then we have a diocesan pastoral plan, diocesan pastoral team that coordinates all this going on. And it demands a lot of humility in terms of attending meetings and discussions. And we try to promote the community aspect of the church, like participating and communicating and dialoguing together. Like not bishop or priest telling people what to do. The people coming together with the bishop, with the priest, sharing ideas together, coming to a common understanding and common platform to carry on the work of the church in its parish and in its diocese.